A new sci-fi book on how asteroid mining can move us to space and maybe save the planet. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. On our show, we've been looking into the still very new economy of space. But while that space economy might be new to us, science fiction has explored it in great detail. Daniel Suarez is the author of near-future sci-fi books like Demon and Freedom, and most recently, Delta V, about a group of asteroid miners recruited by an eccentric billionaire to basically kickstart the space economy. Suarez told me that he was partially inspired by last year's UN report that said humans only have about 12 years to avert catastrophic climate change. So he imagined a near future in which private companies mine asteroids for materials and water to build colonies in space, which is, by the way, cheaper and easier than, say, moving to Mars.
If what we're trying to do here is expand human presence to build a platform and an economy on which we can stand and operate while we perhaps help fix Earth's climate, that means we need resources up there. And asteroids are already up there. They contain everything from nitrogen, ammonia, oxygen, iron, nickel, all of the resources we need. And so the false start for many people is that we're going to bring all these minerals and resources back to the planet's surface. Nothing could be further from the truth. The benefit is largely where they are.
Right. And then to make it crystal clear, if you are already in space mining an asteroid and you only have to take those materials, whether it's minerals or water, to a colony that is also already in space, that requires less energy.
Much less energy. Because you look at it, you have to go 10 kilometers per second to get escape velocity here on Earth. You've got to massively accelerate. But once you're up there, you can easily move hundreds of millions of tons of resources that you find and build enormous, wonderful places to live.
Mm-hmm. It still sounds pretty high level, even though I know that you're pulling together strands of existing technology and existing companies. What is it going to take for all of this to become real and within, let's just say, this 12-year window?
The major obstacle is psychological. I mean, you think back what we did when we went to the moon half a century ago was extraordinary. And I think it's that level of commitment. And of course, many people are familiar with the term the overview effect, this idea that when astronauts get into space and look back at the Earth, they are presented with the reality of how fragile and how thin that film is that covers the Earth, that is all of us, that is every human being that's ever lived, every culture, everything we know. And it develops a sense of unity that they care about us all. And I think that is what we need. We need more people going up into space, experiencing that, and then working together to explore and push back human presence in the solar system. And commerce is key to that. Because, again, if we just send robots to mine asteroids without having people living and working in space, without establishing new industries there, I don't think we get the economic growth that we would otherwise.
You have these seven space barons. You know, one is clearly Elon
yeah,
Musk.
The
others are
I'm not saying anything. I think they're just any resemblance to real world people is purely coincidental, I assure you.
There is an existing book called Space Barons. People are really exploring this idea
yes.
that these, you know, these
and these
billionaires,
are space titans in my book.
Space titans, exactly. So these
completely
that
different.
These billionaire space titans are going to push forward
yes.
this vision.
And take tremendous risks in doing so.
Is that what it takes? Is there a version of great man or maybe ideally great woman theory at work here?
Yeah. And to the extent that it's great man, I think that's partially a cultural artifact. I think, you know, as women increasingly get into positions to do such things, I think it will be equally women. I think it's an instinct. It's an ambition that drives certain people to try to change their future, change the world. And I think that's one of the advantages of having commerce involved is to have, as you mentioned before, I really think it is going to be cooperative, partially competitive, but it is going to be sovereign missions of exploration, but also commercial. And there will be some friction between those two things. Let's face it, a big question to ask is, would it be okay for a private company to be the first one to land on Mars? In other words, would that upset nations, people, that a company would do it? What about planetary protection, making sure that Mars is not contaminated with microbes? There's many different questions. Would we allow people to mine? These are big legal questions that have to be explored. And of course, what value system, what legal system we bring into space, this is going to be very, very heady territory, and it's going to happen very quickly. So I think it's going to be the billionaire types who will be challenging all of these accepted conventions. Nations of the world are going to have to get together and come to some determination to hash things out. And it will be an interesting thing to watch. And mm-hmm. Again, I think these people will be bringing rapid change, and that might be good.
Daniel Suarez is the author of Delta V, which is out this week. And now for some related links. I talked with Daniel Suarez about how in his book, government is almost entirely absent from the conversation. And indeed, private space exploration is a small but growing industry. And I'm not just talking about SpaceX and Blue Origin, which is the one owned by Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Earlier this month, an Israeli nonprofit called SpaceIL launched a low-cost rocket toward the moon in hopes of landing and inspiring more private space exploration. The Bereshit lander unfortunately crashed, but experts say part of it might have survived, including a round reflector that bounces back laser light from a NASA satellite. That could help future missions find the Israeli crash site or even be a beacon for future landers. And there's hope that part of the lander's payload also survived, something called the Arch Lunar Library. It's a DVD-like device that holds information about Earth and a full English language translation of Wikipedia. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.